This podcast is brought to you by Australia's LGBTQIA+ community media organisation, Joy. Keep Joy on air by becoming a member, a subscriber, or donate. Head to joy.org.au. Joy, a diverse sound for a diverse community.
Bored of too many ads and dull, meaningless chat? We've got neither. Joy Drive, smart, fun radio.
Now, cast your mind back, and no doubt you'll remember a few big name retailers that are no longer around. There's Brashers, Venture, Waltons, and even Safeway, which now has been rebranded as Woolworths. These brands seem like a permanent fixture in the retail landscape, but they are businesses, and like all businesses, they potentially could fail. Recently, we've seen major Australia vacuum retailer Godfrey's Group go into administration, along with reports that major tyre retailer Beaux Repairs is on the brink of collapse. So what's going on and what impacts does it have on those businesses that are remaining? Dr. Jason Plant, who's our consumer behaviour expert from RMIT University, joins us this afternoon. Jason, good afternoon.
G'day, Con. How you doing?
Very well. Now, these retailers are well-established brands. Is this indicative of the retail environment or are they simply being poorly managed?
Yeah, look, it's been a really tough few years for Australian retailers. They've contended with, you know, even pre-COVID, we saw a lot of increased competition. We saw a lot of big international brands and multi-brand retailers come into the country. Then we've gone through a global pandemic, a whole bunch of lockdowns. Now we're seeing rise of cost of living pressures and inflation, and it's been a really tough time for Australian retailers and brands. And unfortunately, we've seen a couple more have to go into administration or close a whole bunch of stores, which is not something we ever like to see, but has been happening a bit recently, unfortunately.
Let me have a little think. If a retailer goes into administration, is it likely to survive?
So often what we see is the retailer sort of saying, all right, we've tried everything we can think of. We are really struggling. We need to get really brutal with some decisions that we need to make, and in the hopes that it will save some version of the business. So that might be selling it off to a larger company, that might be turning it into a different version of the company, but essentially what they do is bring in external consultants to run the business and sell off as much as they can, recoup as much as they can of it, and try to help it survive in any kind of form. So it's not a decision that a business would want to make, but it gives some opportunity that some version of the company might still exist.
So I'm just thinking, one particular retailer I recall quite a few years ago was Dick Smith Electronics. It sort of disappeared off the high street, but it sort of was ended up being reintroduced as just an online portal where you could sort of buy things. I'm not sure where it is at the moment, if it still exists at all.
Yeah, exactly. It was an example I was going to bring up, right? So got bought by Kogan, who are a large online marketplace. And essentially what they were doing there was buying the brand name and buying the existing customers who would have shopped with Dick Smith but not Kogan. And so they keep that brand around in some form, but as you say, not any of the stores we would have been used to.
Now, obviously you mentioned a little bit earlier on, it's not to do with a particular sort of, we can't explain it. I mean, as I sort of mentioned in my intro, this has been going on for years, so it can't be explained as being part of the retail cycle. It just, unfortunately, it's a situation that we're in at the moment where it's the cost of living, even the cost of finance is as high as it is, that's having an impact on these businesses and by potential not having much footfall, whether it's coming through the physical stores or going online. So it's not a retail cycle that we sort of say, okay, it's happening every so many years. It's just the unfortunate sort of the pinnacle of what we're all going through at the moment, the perfect storm.
It's a perfect storm. And I think it is also, if you look at some of the brands that is happening to, you know, it can be difficult being in those kind of markets. If you look at something like a Godfrey's, selling vacuums is a pretty tough market to be in when you think about if a vacuum does its job, you probably want to keep it for decades. So how do they encourage people to come back and keep spending? And how do they encourage you to buy the very same vacuum from them than from online or overseas or from a much bigger retailer who might be able to sell it at a cheaper cost? And unfortunately, that's the big challenge that a lot of those kind of smaller or independent retailers or even those mid-sized retailers face.
We're chatting with Dr. Jason Plant, consumer behaviour expert from RIT Uni, about why some long-standing retailers have recently gone into administration. Now, when these businesses do go the way that's, as you mentioned, whether it's Brashers or Venture or even potentially Godfrey's, what does the impact have on consumers? Because some people get attached to those particular brands.
Yeah, it can be very hard to move away from then a brand that you've known. I mean, I think of Godfrey's, I think of the super iconic ads with them picking up a bowling ball with a vacuum. You know, it almost, and how many times have we seen that kind of ad now copied by different brands? And so it's a real shame. There's a lot of nostalgia that goes into it for consumers, but there's also a really big impact on people who work there. You know, we're talking about hundreds of local Aussies all facing the same challenges we've talked about in terms of cost of living and rent prices and housing prices, and now unfortunately going to be out of a job. And so there's big impacts on some of the local communities that these people would have worked in. So it's not, you know, there's an impact on consumers. It's not just about consumers or the people who own these businesses, it is the everyday Aussies who work in all of those stores that are impacted as well.
Yeah, we sort of can't minimise the impact it has, not only as suppliers, but obviously those who are working in the physical stores. And then inevitably, I suppose, those who own those stores where their leases no longer be able to be paid, that they've sort of got then a situation, they've got a space there that needs to be filled and they're not getting any income. So I'm guessing it's kind of quite a concern that isn't just the brand that's disappearing, but the impact it has, which is kind of far wider. Now, what does this actually mean to those retailers who are still in business? Are they remaining sort of nervous, or are they pleased to have reduced competition?
I think Australian retailers as a whole are pretty nervous. Obviously, there's, you know, as we said, there's a lot of cost of living pressures. And I think we saw that with how many retailers really went hard on some of the big pre-Christmas sales, like Black Friday, Cyber Monday, Click Frenzy here. There's a lot of almost what I might call desperation of trying to get people to buy anything, even if that's at 50, 60% off, because, you know, retailers are concerned that we might not be shopping. And so it is a very tough time for Australian retailers. And so I think the message for all of us is that, you know, wherever we can, if we have the ability to do so, shopping local, shopping from Australian brands, shopping from independent stores from our local communities can have a really big impact on, you know, ourselves, on those people, even the economy as a whole, because we want to see our Australian retailers not only survive but thrive. And so we've got to remember that when we look at, you know, we could be buying this from a big international retailer like an Amazon, but what impact does that have on all of the local people working in all of those stores that we could be shopping at?
Well, it's unfortunate, because I think what you just mentioned is that we all seem, or not all of us, but there's a majority of people out there who sort of always are looking at that price point and always looking at it for the sales cycle to happen. And I suppose they come more around more and more frequently, and people aren't prepared to be driven by looking at a local retailer or a local sort of locally employed business where there's manufacturing and retailing. They're sort of looking at that, because we're all sort of experiencing this cost of living stress that we are having at the moment, that they're sort of looking at that sort of price that they have to pay at the till. And unfortunately, it then means that some of these businesses that we would love to support and continue sort of have to compete even harder for our hard-earned dollars.
And that's right. And look, you know, retailers need to meet us halfway, right? We're also not going to just spend a whole bunch more just because something is a local brand. As you said, you know, not many of us are in the position to be able to do that with all of the cost of living pressures that we have. So, you know, Australian retailers as well need to look at ways that they can engage with the local communities, other benefits or value they can provide to us as consumers, even if that doesn't mean they are reducing the price. Things like, you know, in-store workshops, things like teaching us how to use their products better, things like, you know, on-site repairs, building that kind of community spirit are all things that retailers, you know, are and can continue doing to really encourage us, show us a value of shopping local beyond just price.
So I like it. Sort of that relationship continues beyond that point where you actually purchase the product, but sort of like keeping in touch with the purchaser. This is the retailer's perspective, and keeping them part of a community as such, where it's sort of like follow-up service or a follow-up conversation about how I could share some tips and tricks about using the appliance or how best to sort of maximize its use in a way that sort of makes them feel like they're wanted. And then that, hopefully that means a return business to these businesses, so to speak.
Absolutely. And you know, those kind of things, you know, they take a bit of investment in time, but they don't need, you know, necessarily big discounts. There's a lot of other ways that retailers can add value to us and give us things, make us feel great about shopping with them, even if that's not at a heavy discount.
And what's the feeling? Obviously, I mean, this could be continuing where could be potentially more retailers who follow the likes of Godfrey's, I'm going to assume. Hopefully not, but not that we want to wish them to sort of to experience that hardship that Godfrey's is going through at the moment, or potentially buy repairs. But I'm assuming that it could be more to hear on this aspect of retailers.
Yeah, it's one of those kind of things where we hope not, right? We hope we're not back here in next month talking about another Australian retailer. But I think realistically, we're probably going to see a couple more. We don't know necessarily who. We don't wish it on anybody. But just the realities is it has been a very tough time for Australian retailers and consumers alike. And some of the industry stats suggest it's going to start getting worse, particularly until we start seeing things like, you know, interest rates starting to come back down and some of those cost of living pressures easing.
Jason, thanks always for sharing your thoughts on what's going on in the retail environment, just consumer behaviour generally. And hopefully what we can take away from this conversation is support local where you can. Sometimes it could be difficult because obviously they're not going to be as competitive, but by supporting local means those jobs kept and those businesses thriving. And hopefully, as you said, I mean, there are green shoots, so to speak, where inflation seems to be sort of stabilising, if not going down. And hopefully it means cost of living pressures can ease as hopefully interest rates drop. So
hopefully I'm back with, you know, a more positive topic for us to talk about next month.
Thanks, Jason. Appreciate your time with Drive again.
Thanks, Scott.
Dr. Jason Plant, consumer behavior expert from RMIT University.
Joy Drive on Joy 94.9 FM in Melbourne, Joy on your digital radio, iHeartRadio, tunein.com, or the Joy app, no matter where you are.
Thanks for listening to another Joy podcast brought to you by Australia's LGBTQIA+ community media organisation, Joy. Help keep Joy on air. Head to joy.org.au. Joy, a diverse sound for a diverse community.